today on Real Radio.
Moms and dads leading the home, falling on our faces and enumerating our sins, teaching our children how to confess to God. There's a natural thing that when we do not confess to God, we get arrogant. We get self-justifiable. You know what self-justifiable is? And never, my friend, ever underestimate a man's ability to justify himself in any situation. When you're proud, you will justify yourself always. But when you see as a family or as a person or as a nation that we've sinned against God, then listen, then God can work with us. Then God can send revival. Every revival in the history of the world, certainly in the history of America, certainly in the history of Israel, revival is always preceded first with repentance.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. And this week we're in a mini-series that's taken from the first part of chapter 6. This is where an angel appears to Gideon and calls him to deliver Israel from the Midianites. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Let a Man Arise.
Israel has none of this now. They've got nothing. 7 years they did not cry out to God. Why did they not cry out to God? It took them 7 years to be humbled enough to cry out. Can we be that stubborn? Can we allow ourselves to be subjected to pillage and toil and pain without consulting God for up to 7 years' time? Apparently, we can do that. There is something about us where we can dig our heels in, and maybe it's the ultimate of pride where we just won't cry out to Him. I don't know. You say, well, I don't know if that's possible, Jack, but wait a minute. What about friends that you and I know who you have been sharing Jesus with forever? And their life seems to go from one disaster ricocheting off another disaster to another disaster, and you want to pull your hair out. Because you see them suffering through so much, but they still won't bow to God. You know that? Have you seen that happen? Maybe it's family, or maybe it's moms or dads, or sons or daughters. If they would just turn. Isn't that what the Lord says? Turn ye, for why will you perish, saith the Lord. He says, I want to lead you with my right hand, but I got to put a bridle and a bit in your mouth and pull on you like a wild donkey. Isn't that tremendous? And so the Lord, it is amazing. The Lord delivers Israel into the hands of the Midianites for 7 years. Now listen, church, listen, tune in. Were the Midianites the problem? The Midianites were not the problem. Israel was their problem. Israel was its own problem. Listen, this is bizarre, and it's true around the world, at all times. There is what looks like your problem. Oh my goodness, the Midianites. Oh, how could you deliver us into their hands? Wait a minute. The Midianites are not the problem. It's the sin that Israel was engaged in that was the problem. The Midianites, were a symptom of their sinning. There are things that you and I, our nation, can allow in that is the reason why we suffer so much. There is things that you will allow into your life. Maybe it's apathy, slothfulness, laziness, or maybe it's aberrant doctrine or thinking, you know, whatever. When you let those things in and then calamity befalls, how dare we? How dare I say, God, what are you doing? He is completely justifiable and right to part the sky and say, Jack, you brought this upon yourself when you walked away from me. How many times do we hear, how God, I can't believe God did this. God did not do it. It says that He delivered them into the hands of the Midianites because their sin took them there. God just simply backed away and kind of dusted His hands from it. It's not God, as much as you'd like it to pin it on Him. It's us. It's ourselves. The Midianites were just the fruit of their disobedience. It's always the sin. It's always the sin of an individual that brings peril and judgment to that person. When someone else, listen, if someone else sins against us, church, if someone sins against you, you're not going to go into hardship or peril because of that. That person that sinned against you might, unless they repent. But if somebody comes against you, they're sinning, you're not sinning. That person's responsible, though others be hurt, I understand. But listen, when you and I launch out to disobey God or to hurt someone, God will judge us. You say, not us, right? We're Christians. No, He judges us more. We are His children. He spanks His kids, even if the state of California is trying to make that illegal. God spanks His kids. And He will always spank His kids, no matter what Sacramento decides. God spanks His kids, and He doesn't spank anybody else. He doesn't spank Satan's kids. He only spanks His own because He loves His own. And he raises them up rightly. It's always the sin of the family that brings judgment upon the family. Have you ever seen the history of certain families? There's some famous families where you can research them, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but there are some really amazing books. I know Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith actually wrote one of his books, and he worked with criminals in Europe, and he looked at serial killers and throughout history, and some of these serial killers in Europe, their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, they were serial killers also, or very, very lawless people. Have you read in the Bible where it says that I will visit the sins of the fathers upon the children to the fourth and fifth generation? That doesn't mean God says, oh man, too bad for you, I'm so sorry, you're a sweet kid, but you know, your great-great-great-great-grandpa was a real loser, and so now you've got to be a loser too. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. It means that the sin that runs in that family will continue until that chain is broken. And Christ breaks that chain. God breaks that. If you say, man, Pastor Jack, I don't know what to do. I come from a long line of losers. My father was a mugger. My grandpa was a mugger. My mother was a mugger. We're all a bunch of muggers. Listen, come to Jesus and break the chain. He does that. He breaks it. That's why, listen, we've been freed from whatever past, listen, from whatever past we've had, we've been freed from that in Christ. It could be, listen, that we found, maybe it's not the negative, maybe it's the big positive. Oh, I come from a long line of blue bloods. Royalty. Well, watch out. You get your head so pumped up about that you couldn't get it into heaven. Listen, we all have to come to Christ repenting of our sins. It's a tragic thing, too, when all that kind of stuff magnifies from an individual to a family, and a family makes a nation. And when a nation heads down a path of sin, judgment comes. And that's what Israel had done. Listen, you can turn there if you'd like, or I can read it to you. It's Daniel chapter 9. Man, I tell you, this is what we need to have happen in America. Daniel, remember, Israel was sinning against God, taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon. And Israel's captive in Babylon. And Daniel, he is now really under house arrest. And in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, this is what Daniel prays. And boy, this ought to be the prayer of all of us in America tonight. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Those are all manifestations of repentance. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant and mercy with those who love Him and those who keep His commandments. Look at verse 5. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from Your precepts and Your judgments. Hey, we've given up on Your Bible. We've removed it from society. Neither have we heeded Your servant the prophets, who spoke in Your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and all the people of the land. Verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongs to You, but to us, shame of face. And he continues, look at verse 8. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings and princes and our fathers because we have sinned against you. This is a prayer of true repentance. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Verse 10, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he has set before us by his servants the prophets. He continues, look at verse 11. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, has been poured out on us because we have sinned against God. Wow. That's what America needs to cry out. You say, yeah, America, cry out. Wait a minute, it begins with the family. The family needs to cry out. But wait. It begins with the family leader. Needs to cry out. Moms and dads leading the home, falling on our faces and enumerating our sins, teaching our children how to confess to God. We need to teach our kids young how to confess to God. There's a natural thing that when we do not confess to God, we get arrogant. We get self-justifiable. You know what self-justifiable is? And never, my friend, ever underestimate a man's ability to justify himself in any situation. When you're proud, you will justify yourself always. But when you see as a family or as a person or as a nation that we've sinned against God, then listen, then God can work with us. Then God can send revival. Every revival in the history of the world, certainly in the history of America, certainly in the history of Israel, revival is always preceded first with repentance, calling out for mercy. So Daniel just taught us how. That's a great outline. That's a great outline for the National Day of Prayer, isn't it? Proverbs 3 verse 11 says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Remember your parents saying, this is going to hurt me a lot more, it's going to hurt you. I used to think my parents were insane. You ever heard that when you were growing up? Jack, get in here. Now listen, this is going to hurt me a lot more than it's going to hurt you. And I'm thinking, what? You got the paddle. You don't realize that that's true until you have kids. Because, you know, the little kid can cross the line or disobey mom and dad and you can spank them. And they're guilt-free. They go away all free. And we battle with the emotions of, man, I hated to do that. Oh, I don't want to do that stuff. Man, if you're a parent and you like discipline, you like doing it, you're a weirdo. Man, if you love your kids, you hate this. You got to discipline them because you love them. If you don't discipline them, they're going to grow up to be Charlie Manson types. You got to spank them. You got to discipline them. But man, your heart, you love them. I had a friend of mine. My house was not like this, but his name was Mike Needle. Sweet guy. He hated getting disciplined by his parents. And we were talking, oh man, I know, I'm getting spanked. He goes, I don't care about the spanking part. He said, after my dad sits me down, son, this is going to hurt me a lot more, it's going to hurt you. I wish you wouldn't have done that. And he spanks him. And he said, that was not the bad part. The bad part was my dad put down the paddle and then started just hugging on him, kissing him. I'm so sorry, buddy. And just, and he hated, man, it's, Jack, I wish my dad would just spank me and leave the kisses out of it. God says, I love you, I'm going to spank you. Our culture's so messed up that it thinks spanking is wrong because I think, frankly, there's so little love in so many parents' hearts who have gone crazy in abusing their children. That's not even in the same ballpark. The Bible says if you let a child be left to himself, he's going to grow up to be a reproach to his mother. God says, I love you, and I'm going to discipline you. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, Hebrews 12, 5, listen to what he says. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when he rebukes you. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as a son. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Well, then he's not your son if you don't spank him. But if you are without chastisement, of which all have become partakers, then you are an illegitimate child. Wow. Charles Spurgeon writes this, The Lord does not allow his children to sin successfully. Isn't that great? The Lord does not allow his children to sin successfully. Hey, if you're a Christian, go out and sin. Go ahead, I dare you. Go out there and watch what happens to you. You're going to be miserable. And by the way, you think those of you who maybe similarly tonight, and you're a Christian, God, you are owned by God, but you're living in sin. God has been spanking you, and we can all see it on your face. That's why people keep asking you, how you doing? How you doing? What are you asking? I'm just asking, how you doing? You used to shine. You used to glow. And then you got away from God. And you don't think anybody knows. Nobody might know what you're doing, but God knows, and your light bulb is dim now. Your countenance is down. And we can see, man, you're just not, you're not on, you know, you're not there. It's amazing. The Lord rebukes and disciplines his people. The Bible says, even through godly leaders and those who love your soul. Man, this is a lost thing in the 21st century church. Listen, those who love your soul, pastors of any church around the world are supposed to watch out for the flock of God. Listen to me carefully. That does not mean that, listen, it doesn't mean that pastors are supposed to win a popularity contest. And that's the world we live in today. What pastor is most popular? I guarantee you right now. There will not be a pastor that's popular if he truly loves his flock as the Bible would have him to love his flock. When I say popular, I mean this. The scripture in the New Testament and the Old, for that matter, over and over again speaks about discipline. When a church is erring, the pastor is supposed to call that church into discipline. The pastor is supposed to say, in fact, you've read it in Corinthians and Book of Acts and other places, that when somebody who professes to be a believer is doing something they ought not to be doing, you're supposed to go to that person and confront them. Now, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? That doesn't matter. What does it mean from the Bible? That's what matters. Confront them? Does it mean you walk up to them and say, hey, you foul, wretched backslider, you? Nope, that's wrong. Is that ever done? Yep, in the name of God even, and it's dead wrong. If a pastor or pastors love your soul, they will go to you and they will deal with it biblically. And by the way, they won't spread it around town either. That is evil. I got a phone call one time from a pastor, and it forever sealed my doom with that person. Because that a certain pastor called me and said, hey, you know what? You need to be on your toes, because there's somebody that's going to come over to your church, and they're this way and that way and this way and that way. And I said, you know what? I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. Have you gone to this person? Have you told them this? No. And forever in my mind, that person was blacklisted in my head because of that call that came in advance. That's evil. That's wrong. Listen, the Word of God is the foundation for any rebuke or discipline. And listen to this very carefully. From the Word of God, you must show them their error. In your life, you say, well, Pastor, can you come and fix the situation between me and my friend? No, no, you're supposed to do that. As a church here over this, I'm supposed to do this. When you leave this building, you're supposed to deal with it in the lives that you come in contact with. So watch this. From the Word of God, you must show them their error. And you do it humbly. Has someone hurt you? Don't raise your hand. Has someone hurt you? Are you at odds with somebody right now? Go to them. Bible open, humbly. And don't go to them with your finger going this way. Point to the Bible and talk to them. Tell them you love them. For Christ's sake, in the name of Jesus, I love you. For Jesus' sake, I love you. This seems to be the way I see this. The Bible says here, go to the Word of God. This is what you cannot do. Never can a Christian do this, but this is what Christians do rather than obey the Word of God. They say things like this. I felt like, or I feel that, or listen to this, biggest cover-up of sin ever. And it's a big, big problem. And it's sin. God told me God told me to tell you that that's sin. Open up the Bible. Listen, if someone is lying about you or hurting you, go to the Bible. In fact, listen, we ought to jot this down. These few scriptures here, it's great. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. For reproof, that's conviction. For correction, that's, the word means actually to reset the bone, to fix that which is broken. For instruction, that is to show somebody the right way. In righteousness, that is to follow Christ. Now the book of Galatians, from there, Galatians 6 verses 1 and 2 says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Listen, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? The law of love. So when God judges Israel, as he's going to be doing in chapter 6, everything God does is from the direction of love. You and I should be doing the same thing. If somebody has harmed you or hurt you, you don't want to go to them because you want to see them fall or be upset or now have something over their head. You go to them because Jesus loves them, and this is what God commands you to do. It's very important. In Matthew chapter 18, the scripture says, if there you have a brother that has something against you or you against him, you go to him privately. Church, listen carefully. If you're at odds with someone, if someone's upset with you, or you're upset with them, if you don't speak to them about it, if you don't go to them and say, listen, are we okay? Or is there something, maybe it's me, but is something wrong? If they say, well, you know what, and they begin to talk, then you've love covers a multitude of sin. The body comes back together again. There's unity and it's beautiful. It's wonderful. If the person refuses to hear you, what does Matthew 18 say to do? Go get a godly brother, and in the face of two witnesses, yourself and a friend, go to that person and say, listen, you wouldn't even hear me last time. He's only here as a witness. Did you do this or are you doing that? Or did you say this about me or whatever it is? The Bible says if he still will not hear you, go get another guy and come to his door. Say, look, these are only witnesses, and look, I'm only following what the Bible says here. Please, is this what you're doing? And the scripture says if he still won't hear you, then it says to notify or let it come before the church.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Let a Man Arise. It's a presentation taken from the book of Judges chapter 6, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember that we recently wrapped up Pastor Jack's examination of the New Testament letter to the Ephesians. Well, we've placed that entire series all onto one MP3 CD. So here's our offer. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll be happy to send you Pastor Jack's series in Ephesians on one MP3 CD. You can call, click, or write. Just be sure and indicate the Ephesians Study Series on MP3 CD. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be located at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.